Today, as we are a nation in remembrance, I would be remiss if we did not call our attention this morning in worship to the Queen of England, who at 96 years old went to be with the Lord this past Thursday. We remember her for her 70-year reign as England's monarch. And for many of us, including me, she is the only queen I have ever known. So I don't think it's incorrect to say that we say goodbye to the world's queen, a 70-year reign on the throne. Queen Elizabeth II was all about character. She had a calm and genuine leadership. She had a work ethic like no other. She had a commitment both to herself and her nation. She respected others, and always in her genuine curiosity and concern would be something that we would cherish always. But more importantly, we see her love of family and unity. Her reign as Queen of England, and the Queen really of the entire world, the largest monarch known to mankind, she will be missed, but never forgotten. So on our day of remembrance, I ask you to think of her as well as we celebrate our nation, as we celebrate this message, as we celebrate our faith and worship God together this morning. Please be with the royal family in their time of bereavement as things now change, not only for them and not only for our ally England, but also the world. Queen Elizabeth was famously quoted saying, "Grief is the price we pay for love." Grief is the price we pay for love. Never once did she or anybody who responded to 9/11 or who was called from the fields of the world to serve compromise their faith, their morals, or their ethics. Today we honor them all, especially on this day known as September the 11th. As you can see by the remembrance this morning, life presents us many tripwires. Just in the last week, the world has lost a monarch. We are now celebrating a tragedy untold over 21 years ago to this nation. Friday night, this community experienced a loss that we did not hope for, but we've endured. Again, life will present us tripwires. And that's the title of your message this morning. So I'm going to take you back in history just a little bit. In 1964, America entered conflict in Vietnam and as such fought almost 10 years in the nation of Vietnam. As soldiers arrived into hot landing zones during the war, the average life expectancy could be calculated in either seconds and or minutes, depending on the intensity of the firefight where the helicopters were landing. The average age of our warriors was 23 years, 11 months, the prime of their lives. And contrary to popular belief, two-thirds of those young men volunteered for service. They were not drafted into service. They were heroes, all in one, that fought in the shores and nation of Vietnam on behalf of the principles of this nation. During the Vietnam War, when our troops arrived in country from engagement to engagement, they fought and traveled throughout the jungle on what they knew to be the pathways or trade and commerce accesses of the jungle. The enemy was so elusive in their deep jungle attacks that they laid tripwires and booby traps everywhere on these paths of commerce where they could be triggered by our soldiers. And once that had happened, our soldiers were devastated. Our troops were hurt in large number, many of them not killed, but taken completely out of action. You see, in these new battlefronts, when these attacks occurred, the enemy was long gone, as they had set the traps and moved on, not to engage the troops, but let the booby traps and the tripwires do their job. They were elusive, perhaps, would be a better term. In fact, our troops never knew that they were even had been there. They covered their tracks. They could not even declare or determine if someone had been ahead of them. But once they had triggered the trap, they were neck deep in the carnage of the entrapment. The jungle was a battlefront like no other. How has our troops to cope? What were they to do? They were in country, engaged, and left behind as the helicopters lifted off. They had only two real options, friends: compromise their training or build upon their knowledge, skills, and core values and adapt and overcome. Compromising their training was not an option. At this juncture, it was the only thing keeping them alive in the jungles of Vietnam. To compromise their ethics, morals, training, and purpose would be a death sentence, and likely they had already seen too much death anyway. So they adapted and they overcame the adversity they faced daily. I don't know if many of you knew this. I added this to this message because I thought it was so interesting. The average soldier fought in a skirmish in Vietnam 240 days out of 365. 240 days they fought every year on an average. No matter if the enemy was in their face or subtly trying to kill them, they were grounded in their principles and acted on their training and on their faith. They had a mission, they had a purpose, and they didn't compromise it. In the reading this morning, we see where King Solomon broke God's commandments by marrying many other women from other nations. God had prohibited relationships with people from Canaan because he knew that these relationships would lead the Israelites to worship other gods. We clearly see in this passage that God was right. Solomon not only compromised his principles, values, and morals, he disobeyed his God. Solomon began to worship other gods, and he even built shrines in their honor. Much like the soldiers and the heroes of both Vietnam and 9/11. And much like King Solomon, everyone has principles. Everyone has principles they live by. The question this morning's message is, which one of your principles are negotiable and which ones are not? Better yet, let me ask you this question. What are you willing to compromise on the trail of life when you face your enemy? What compromises are you willing to make? Here is the hard truth, the absolute truth. Every time Christians compromise their godly principles, and this is happening all around us each and every day, every time as Christians do this, they are walking on the path where the tripwire of life is right around the corner. And before they know it, they will be engulfed in the carnage of the booby trap. It doesn't take a biblical scholar to understand the terrible consequences of true compromise. God warned Solomon in the scripture this morning against alliances with Egypt, but he bypassed the Lord's instructions to buy horses. Eventually, Solomon found himself agreeing to the alliance with Egypt and marrying Pharaoh's daughters. It wasn't long before King Solomon took more wives, and again more wives, and he worshipped other gods. The result was that when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away to the other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to our God, his Lord. As a result, the entire nation of Israel became weaker until it was torn apart. Let me repeat what I just said in a much shorter version. Solomon, in his infidelity to his God, turned away out of other passions, turned away from God, and as a result, the entire nation of Israel became weaker until it was torn apart. I only repeat that twice to say this. Sounds all too familiar, doesn't it? You see, just 21 years ago, on September the 12th, a nation was united. From age 3 to 30 to 60 to 90 years old, they stood on the highways and the byways in the lawns of America, waving an American flag. And today, for some reason, we find ourselves yet divided. My question to you this morning is, for what? What are we divided on? Why are we divided? You see, God warned Solomon against alliances with Egypt. He today warns us with the alliances of ungodly matters. And as a result of his disobedience and his infidelity with God, the entire nation of Israel became weaker. There's a lesson to be learned by this nation today. You see, the deceptive power of compromise is coming. It's among us. The greatest threat to any believer is compromise. In fact, the devil uses them as modern day ambushes in our lives. And the stark truth this morning is that each of us have already likely compromised much too much already. The question is, are you ready to draw your battle line in the face of defiance and enemies? The other question that surfaces this morning is all compromise wrong? Well, here's what I'll share with you. Compromise can be beneficial when it promotes cooperation without sacrificing your moral values. Listen to what God tells us. He told it to King Solomon. He tells us this morning. If you would walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and I will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom of Israel. Unfortunately, King Solomon chose to disobey God to build the kingdom, which then God turned left Israel in ruins. Sounds all too familiar, doesn't it? Compromise, you see, friends, requires movement from our position. When you take one step, as Christians, you best make sure that the steps you take are biblically correct. They are sound in your faith. Make sure it's the right step, because if it is the wrong step, or perhaps the wrong direction, and importantly, a direction that you know to be unwise, it can lead to ungodly actions, and it will lead to our ultimate destruction. So have you ever heard the statement, "Don't worry, just a small portion of this won't hurt you"? Many of you have heard that. Now, my grandmother was famous for telling us as her grandchildren, "Don't worry, just another small portion of this on your plate won't hurt you." Well, look here, folks. It did. Okay, so small portions add up to big portions, and they make big things. Things that you battle all of your life. So we all know that this statement isn't true, especially when it comes to our faith in Christ Jesus. When we do these things, we endanger ourselves in ways we don't realize. When we face the enemy, know that compromise is like poison. Even a taste of it can be deadly. God is plain in his directions to Solomon, and he's plain in his directions to us as Christians. In our morals, our values, and our Christian beliefs. Don't do it. Don't compromise. It's not a hard commandment. Don't compromise. Compromise has consequences. has concessions and consequences. Those concessions are many. And like in any situation, concessions usually come in small doses. They generally are insignificant, and it's easy to underestimate their potential for damage. Compromise isn't usually a huge act of disobedience either, especially depending on the situation. More often, it starts as a minor slip in one's thinking or behavior toward their belief, morals, or perspectives. What is interesting is that even wisdom can be conquered. Even wisdom, of all things, can be conquered by the devil when we let it happen. By wisdom, I mean the statement we all heard when we were growing up. No excuses, you knew better, or you know better. What I find interesting in this morning's reading is that wisdom doesn't safeguard us from our waywardness. This morning we see where the wisest man in the world became the most foolish. King Solomon's obsession with God fell because of his obsession with women. This led to seduction. This cracked the shield of God's protection over him, and ultimately compromised King Solomon to infidelity and idolatry, which led to his demise because he was openly defiant of God. Friends, we are just like King Solomon. We can be brilliant. In fact, we are brilliant, but morally bankrupt. We see this every day as we live in this nation, this world filled to the brim of moral bankruptcy. I attended a conference this week in Bath County, and the instructor said, "I can no longer define our moral parameter." The more I thought about that, the more I realized, you know, I can't eat. I don't know where our parameters are. I don't know where our lines are drawn in the sand. In fact, I fear they're not. Last week I told you that as laborers under the watchful eye of the carpenter, we need to be reminded that our obedience to God's plan is a requirement for our own spiritual growth. It defines our success and the success of God's church. In the end, friends, we have a choice between obsession and obedience. Obsession with ourselves and the world's view, or obedience in our salvation and God's view. This slope is slippery. The world we live in is packed full of slopes and mud. Each act of disobedience becomes repetitive, and as such, it's easier to rationalize. This is such an important statement. Every time we do something that we think, well, you know, God's going to forgive us. Well, He will forgive you, but you're going to build a rationalization to why you did it. You're going to try to justify it. And the more you do with that, it's going to simply turn to my grandmother's mashed potatoes. One small helping turns into 1,000 small helpings, and look what you get. You cannot rationalize our disobedience. Make no mistake, there are consequences when we compromise. As Christians, we cannot afford to lower our standards. Lowering our standards weakens our character, hurts our personal testimony, and hinders our prayer life and our relationship with God. As Christians, we truly need to avoid compromise. What I'm asking, better yet, what God is asking, is to make God's word your statement and your standard of conduct. This is who you are. This is your statement of faith, and it is your standard of conduct. As Christians, we shall not compromise our doctrine. We shall not compromise the holy truth found in the Word of God. The absolute truth found in the lessons learned in Holy Scripture. There is no compromise. They are unnegotiable items. We profoundly believe in the virgin birth, in the bodily resurrection of Christ, and most importantly, we profoundly believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God. Those three things I just said, the virgin birth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the ascension in heaven, and the absolute truth of the Holy Gospel, are debated today on every floor in the United States, a nation founded under godly principles. If it's debated here, it's debated throughout the world. And as many of you know, there are many people who do not believe in God. As believers in Christ Jesus, we are to find them, seek them out, and turn their way. But we know this is a challenge. As we face this challenge, we must not compromise our doctrine. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in the Holy Scriptures, in the truth found within. And we certainly believe in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who will provide us eternal life. As committed believers in God's Word, we stand firm on our convictions about the Bible and about the promises of God. That's simply put. When misunderstood or persecuted, we have the courage to remain steadfast if we bedrock ourselves on these foundational elements. And we can secure our relationship with our Lord and Savior when we confess our faith in Him. You see, our faith helps us to discern what is right from what is wrong. Many times I've asked my Bible study class, what would you do without your faith? That's a great question, isn't it? Well, the answer is partly here this morning. Our faith teaches us right from wrong. In our steadfast belief of God's Word, our direction is governed by principles rather than preference. That means that we follow God's Word based on its principle, not on our preference. God is our GPS. Holy Scripture is our roadmap. Christians shun compromise because we are motivated by the approval of God rather than the applause of others. Let me repeat that. As Christians, we should be motivated by the approval of God, and we should care less about the applause of others. Because if you stand true in the Word of God, you will find controversy. You will come up on someone who disagrees with you. And they may not applaud you for your belief, although you try to rationalize theirs. Remember, you stand firm on your principles because of the approval of God, not because of the applause they may or may not give you. In closing, one tiny concession may appear insignificant, but as any soldier will tell you, the slightest step in the wrong direction will place in motion the trigger of the tripwire. Compromising our godly principles is no small matter. Compromise is a spiritual undertow that can pull us farther and farther from the shore of life, and more importantly, from the shores of God Almighty, where our salvation is found. Holding firm to God's Word and the truth within truth will require tremendous resolve. The same resolve this nation seen on September the 11th, 2021. The same resolve that the nation saw on December the 7th, 1941. The same resolve that this nation sees each and every day to simply be free. Have the freedom to worship. Have the freedom to be God's disciples. It's the same resolve. Truth is where resolve is founded. All disciples of Christ in the modern world will be called upon sooner rather than later to stand for our beliefs or fall for the enemy's deception. Maybe you've already been there in your lives. Maybe you've already been there in your work ethic or your workplace. Maybe you've already been there with your friends. Maybe you've already been there with some government agency. Maybe you've already been there in your walk of faith. But you will be called upon sooner rather than later to stand for your beliefs. And you can either stand up like we did this morning for our nation and yourselves and for God most importantly, or you will fall for the enemy's deception. God desires genuine peace in Scripture. He desires genuine joy in Scripture. And contentment to replace all the enslavement, frustration, and anxiety that go along with trying to please a lost and foolish world. You see, you need the approval. I need the approval of God Almighty. I'm not worried about the foolish world or their applause. That's why when we refuse to compromise and we choose Christ, you're sure to experience victory in every area of your life. And lastly, friends, victory in Christ Jesus brings you two things: eternal life and God's unwavering love, support, devotion, and happiness in who you are. It likely will not bring you the applause of the world. Amen.